2010 metai, kovo 7 diena, toliau skaitame Mahabharatą, verstą Krishna Dharmas Prabhu. Ir šiandien skaitysime pirmą dalį, 27 skyrių. Pradėsime, kuris vadinasi Bhima susitinka su Hanumanu. Bhima susitinka su Hanumanu. The Pandavas remained in Badarikashram for 6 days and nights. On the 7th day, a wind blew up from the northeast carrying a single celestial lotus. The flower fell at Draupadi's feet. The princess looked in wonder at the golden thousand-petaled flower. It's fragranced, delighted. Its fragrance delighted her mind, and she was charmed by its beauty. She had never seen anything like it, and she showed it to Bhima. Just behold this flower, O mighty armed one. Have you ever seen anything so wonderful? It gladdens my heart, and I desire to give it to Yudhishthira. Please discover where it came from and bring others, so that we may take them back to our hermitage in Kamyaka. Draupadi looked at Bhima, čia dangiška gėlė, vat, į rankas papuolė. Draupadi looked at Bhima with her dark eyes, which were covered with long, curling lashes. Feeling her gaze upon him, Bhima felt commanded. He was overjoyed at the opportunity to do something for her pleasure. She had suffered so much over the past years. The gentle princess was not suited to the forest life, and she still felt the agony of the insults she had suffered in Hastinapura. Now she suffered even more due to Arjuna's absence. He had always been her favorite among the Pandavas. Bhima said, "It will be done, O blessed lady. You will see me return with an armful of these golden flowers." Aš jau nepaslaptis, kad Draupadi labiausiai jai patiko Arjuna iš visų 5 vyrų. Tai rodo, kad ar brolių nebuvo jokio pavydo. Bhima faced the wind and began to climb the mountain. He traveled swiftly, resembling a furious elephant crashing through the forest. All creatures fled away in fear as he raced ahead, thinking only of Draupadi. The region through which Bhima passed became increasingly beautiful. Not only were the trees in full bloom, but the rocks were black stone inlaid with gems. Oho! Informacija įdomi. Vidi akmenys su brangakmenys. It seemed to Bhima as if the goddess Earth had raised her arm adorned with sparkling ornaments in the form of this mountain. Bhima felt a cool breeze fanning his body, and his energy increased. On all sides he saw numerous Gandharvas and Siddhas, sporting on the mountain slopes with their consorts, the beautiful celestial maidens, turning their heads sideways to look at the Pandava as he rushed past. Bhima scoured the mountainside as he ran, looking everywhere for the lotuses, but he didn't find the flowers. He continued higher into the mountain, roaring with exultation at his own strength and power. Hearing the tremendous noise, animals at a distance became afraid. The mountain tigers left their dens and ran about. Some of them tried to attack Bhima, but he slapped them aside as he ran. Aiškia tigrus. Sako, kaip smilgas, kaip bėgi pro šoną, gali su rankom, taip pliaukšt, pliaukšt, tai taip tigrus Bhima vartė. He lifted elephants and tossed them at other elephants, clearing his path. Nu jo, čia jau mistinės galės, čia nieko negali pasakyti. Bhima then came to a plantain forest. He entered it with force and broke some of the tall trees by hitting against them with his arms and thighs. He was still shouting, and his roars now mixed with the terrified cries of the forest animals. The tumult he created carried for miles. Suddenly Bhima noticed aquatic birds rising into the air not far off, frightened by the noise, realizing there must be water nearby and that lotuses grow on water, he made his way toward the birds. Soon he saw a delightful lake. The Pandava went down to the water, which was adorned by innumerable lotuses and lilies. He divided in and swam about like a maddened elephant. Refreshed and enlivened, he rose from the water and let out a terrific blast from his conch shell. Examining the lotuses, however, he realized that they were not the same as the one Draupadi desired. He set off up the mountain again, following a path leading up from the lake. He heard a loud noise just ahead of him. The sound echoed all around the mountain and made Bhima's hair stand on end. He ran forward to see what could have made such a noise, and he found a huge monkey lying across the path, lashing the ground with his long tail and making the earth tremble. The monkey was effulgent and resembled a blazing hill of copper. He had broad shoulders and a slender waist. His face shone like the full moon, and behind his thin lips, Bhima could see sharp, pearl-white teeth. Seeing him obstructing his path like a hill, Bhima roared at him. The monkey, however, didn't seem impressed. He slowly opened his reddish eyes and looked lazily at Bhima. "Why have you awakened me? I am ill and deserve your kindness. Indeed, as a human you should know the codes of religion and show kindness to all lower creatures. O hero, it seems you don't know virtue because you have come here forcefully, destroying animals on your way. Who are you? Where are you going? Do you not know that you cannot proceed further? This path leads to heaven, and man cannot access it. Only those who are successful in ascetic practices can go to the celestial regions. Therefore, give up your quest and turn back, or rest here while first and partake of the sweet fruits and cool water. O foremost of man, don't try to force your way past and thus die for nothing." Intrigued, Bhima responded politely, "Who are you, O respectable one? Why are you in the form of a monkey? I myself belong to the royal order. I am a descendant of Kuru and the son of King Pandu, and I was born in the Lunar Dynasty from the union of Kunti and Vayu. My name is Bhima. I am simply a monkey. I shall not allow you to pass. Turn back. Don't meet with destruction." Bhima felt his anger rising. "Who was this ape? O monkey, I don't ask that you give me permission, nor am I interested to hear your thoughts about my destruction. Stand aside, don't experience grief at my hands." The monkey, still speaking in a lazy voice, said, "I am ill and cannot move. If you must pass me, then step over my body." Bhima shook his head. "How can I step over you when I know that the all-pervading Supersoul, the Lord of all, resides in your heart, as he does in the hearts of every being? I cannot disregard him." Bhima looked closely at the monkey and he thought of the great Hanuman, Lord Rama's devoted servant. Could this be him? But that monkey had lived in a long past age. How could he still be alive? That would mean he was now almost a million years old. "No, it was impossible," Bhima continued. "Had I not been aware of the super soul, I would have leapt over you as well as the entire mountain. even as Hanuman leaped across the ocean. The monkey turned toward Bhima and opened his eyes wide. "Who is this Hanuman who leaped over the ocean? Tell me if you can." "He was my brother, begotten by the wind god, and endowed with intelligence and strength. He was the best of monkeys, and he is celebrated in the Ramayana. For the sake of Rama's wife, Sita, he leaped 100 yojanas over the sea to Lanka. I am equal to him in strength and prowess, and am thus able to chastise you. Arise, O monkey, and give away. Otherwise, I shall send you to Yamaraja's abode." And Bhima Pasigire. The monkey remained calm. "I have grown old and cannot move. Please move my tail and make your way past." Bhima moved toward the monkey. This was surely not Hanuman, for Hanuman's power was limitless. This monkey was simply some insolent and powerless being who deserved to be punished for obstructing his path and refusing to move. Perhaps he was even a Rakshasa assuming in disguise and awaiting for a chance to attack. Bhima decided to take him by the tail and whirl him around till he died. The Pandava bent over and carelessly took hold of the monkey's tail with his left hand. To his surprise, he found that he couldn't budge the tail. Škai Hanumanas parodys, kad čia ir buvo iš tikrųjų Hanumanas. Biškė, išdidumą numuš, Bimai. Na, čia nėra materialus išdidimas, čia žaidimas, bet kokia atveju mes ir savo padėties galim tiesiog pasimokyti. Placing both hands firmly around the monkey's tail, Bhima pulled hard, still it couldn't be moved. Bhima struggled with all his strength. His face was contracted, he was covered with perspiration, and his eyes rolled. Despite his efforts, however, Bhima couldn't shift it all. No, tai kšatri, tai čia yra baisiausia. The Pandava realized that this was not an ordinary monkey, or even a demon, as he had supposed. Bowing his head in shame, he stood before the creature with joined palms and said, "Forgive me my harsh words. Are you a Siddha, a Gandharva, or a god? I am curious. Who are you in the shape of a monkey? I seek your refuge and ask you in the mood of a disciple. If it is not secret, then be pleased to tell me." The monkey said, "O chastiser of enemies, as you are curious, I shall tell you. Know me to be the sun, or that life, or the universe, Vayu, born in the womb of Keshari, and the monkey named Hanuman, whom you mentioned earlier." As Bhima listened in amazement, Hanuman told him in brief the famous history of the Ramayana, which the Pandava already knew well. When Hanuman finished speaking, tears fell from Bhima's eyes, and he fell to the ground to offer his obeisances. Rising up again, he spoke joyfully to the monkey chief. "No one is more fortunate than me, for I have seen my famous and powerful brother. O great one, I have only one desire. Please show me the form with which you jumped over the ocean. I shall then have full faith in your words." Hanuman replied, "That form cannot be seen by you or anyone else. When I leaped over the ocean, things were quite different than they are now. It was a different age, and everything was greater. Now that Kali Yuga is about to begin, all things have diminished. I can no longer display that gigantic form because every being must obey the dictates of time. I am no exception. Therefore, please don't ask me to reveal that form." Iškia, Rama buvo nužengęs ar dvapar ar satė jūgui. Ten viskas buvo žymiai didesnį gabaritų, iškia, medžiai didesnių gabaritų, paukščiai, žmonės, taip toliau. Hearing Hanuman speak, Bhima became curious to learn more, from his ancient brother. Please tell me, O Hanuman, what are the different manners and customs of each age? You have been alive almost since the first age. How have people pursued religion, economic development, pleasure, and liberation in each of the yugas? Nu va, čia įdomi informacija, čia istorija, tikroji istorija. Hanuman began with Satya Yuga. At that time, every living being was self-realized and devoted to the Supreme Lord's service. With the onset of each successive age, however, everything diminishes and becomes more degraded. Virtue, which was fully manifest in the first age, was diminished by a quarter in each successive age. Reiškia, ketvirtadalį viskas mažėja. By now, Hanuman explained, virtue and religion were three quarters lost. Reiškia, dabar mes turim tris ketvirtadalis dorybės. By the end of Kali Yuga, it will have disappeared entirely. Hanuman concluded, as the ages progress and virtue diminishes, so the nature and abilities of man undergo diminishment. As the ages progress and virtue diminishes, so the nature and abilities of man undergo diminishment. Labai svarbus sakinys, kad visos galios, tai tiek pat ir mistinės, ir fizinės, ir psichinės, ir dvasinės galios, jos mažėja. Priklausomai su kiekvienu amžiu, kadangi dorybė mažėja. Kuo mažiau žmogus turi dorybės, tuo mažiau jis turi fizinės, psichinės, dvasinės galios. Everything becomes inauspicious. Even the performance of religious acts in this last age produces contrary results. How then can I show the form with which I leaped over the great ocean? And even if I could, why should a wise man such as yourself ask to see something so unnecessary? But Bhima was insistent. He sensed that Hanuman was able to show his most powerful form despite his reluctance. The Pandava greatly desired to see it, and he declared that he would not leave until he was satisfied. At last, the monkey chief relented. Telling Bhima to stand back, Hanuman rose up from his resting place and expanded his body to massive proportions. He covered all sides and towered above Bhima, looking like a second Vindhya mountain. In a voice which resounded through the forest, he spoke to the awe-struck Pandava. Nu va. O Bhima, this is the extent to which you are able to see my form. I could go on expanding myself almost without limits. My size and power increase amid foes according to their strength. Rama's devoted servants can never be overcome by any enemy. Taip sakant, Hanumanas turėjo mahimą siddhi valdės, transcendentinę siddhi, kuri leidžia padidėti iki kokio nori dydžio, padidint kūną. Bhima felt his hair standing erect. Dropping to his knees, he said, O Lord, O greatly mighty one, I have seen your form to my satisfaction. You resemble the Mainaka mountain. As you are able to show such power, how was it that Rama had to exert himself to fight with Ravana? With you by his side, what need was there for him to do battle with that Rakshasa? It seems to me that you could have immediately and single-handedly crushed Lanka with all its warriors, elephants and chariots. Hanuman returned to his normal size and replied solemnly, O mighty armed descendant of Bharata, it is exactly as you say. That rich Ravana was no match for me. But if I had slain him, then the glory of Dasharatha's son would have been obscured. By killing the king or the demons and rescuing Sita, my lord Rama has established his fame and glory among men. Hanuman then told Bhima to go back to his brothers. Bhima explained that he first had to find the source of the thousand-petal lotuses, and Hanuman showed him the way to the forest where they grew. There is the path which leads to the Saugandhika forest, and there you will see Kuvera's gardens which are guarded by the Yakshas and Rakshasas. In a great lake lie the flowers which you seek for your wife. Hanuman came forward and embraced Bhima with affection. He briefly instructed him in the science of kingship and then said, "O Bhima, having once again come in contact with a human, I have felt in my mind the presence of my Lord Ram, who is Vishnu incarnate and who is the blazing sun to the lotus, Sita, and to the darkness called Ravana. Therefore, I wish to give you a boon. Ask of me whatever you desire. If you wish, I shall go to Hastinapura and kill Dhritarashtra's insignificant sons and grind their city to powder. Or I can bind Duryodhana and bring him here. Tell me what I can do for you." Bhima replied that he felt assured of success if Hanuman would simply lend his support and blessings. Even his presence on the battlefield would guarantee victory. Hanuman replied, "When you rush forth for the fight, sending forth lion-like roars, I will add my roars to yours. Remaining on the flagstaff of Arjuna's chariot, I will strike fear into the hearts of your foes by my terrific yells." O, reiškia, taip ir bus po to, kai užriumos pandavai, kai kurie net to riaumojimo jėgos net mirs. Hanumanas bus vėliavo įsikūnės. Turi mistinės galės, gali įsikūnyti ir vėliavo, ir visur, kur tik nori. Ne, mes pabandytume į vėliavą įlipti, tai čia nieko nesigautų. After embracing his brother once more, Hanuman told him to depart for Saugandika. Seeing the glint in Bhima's impetuous eyes as he made ready to leave, Hanuman held him by the arms and said, "Don't take the flowers forcefully, child. The celestials should always be respected. In this way, they will bestow their blessings upon you. As a kshatriya, you should perform your duty to protect other living beings humbly and keep your passions under control. Go in peace. I bid you farewell." Hanuman disappeared and Bhima headed towards Saugandika. As he walked, he reflected on the majestic form Hanuman had showed him. Who could imagine such a sight, either on heaven or on earth? Bhima also remembered Rama's glories and the great battle he had fought for Sita with Hanuman's help. Nu, Bhima vaidino tą, kaip sako, kšatrijo rolę turėjo atlikti. Ir čia vat, aprašo kšatrijas, komisai žavisi jėga, apsukrumu, kovos menų išmanimo, strategija, reiškia karais. Millions of Rakshasas had been slain. Bhima knew a similar fight awaited the Pandavas. Again, the all-powerful Lord, this original Supreme Person, would take part in the fight. The world would then be rid of unwanted elements. Duryodhana and his brothers were no better than the sinful Rakshasas, which Krishna had destroyed as Lord Rama. How could they then rule the world? Surely it was the Lord's desire that they be annihilated. Reiškia, tuo metu jau buvo labai stipriai, labai stipriai susikaupusios demoniškos jėgos. Labai stipriai susikaupusios. Kad, reiškia, Krishna sako, Bhagavad Gita, aš ateinu nuteisti nuodėmingųjų. Reiškia, jau buvo žemė apsunkusi nuo nuodėmingų karalių. Soon Bhima's mind again drifted to his surroundings. He was moving swiftly again, but the beauty of the woodlands, groves, orchards, lakes and rivers was not lost on him. Still the cool breeze carried that captivating fragrance from the blossoming trees. Herds of wild elephants roved about like masses of clouds, while buffaloes, bears, leopards and deer moved here and there. Bhima pressed on. Just after noon, he at last arrived in the Saugandika region. There he saw the lake filled with fresh golden lotuses, exactly like the one that had blown to Draupadi's feet. Swans swam up the lake, and other water birds mingled with them, all making delightful sounds. The lake seemed to be fed by mountain springs that fell into the it in cascades that sparkled in the sun. The lake seemed to be fed by mountain springs that fell into that fell into it in cascades that sparkled in the sun, a canopy of green and golden trees which swayed gently in the breeze, provided shade along the sandy lake shore. Heaps of precious stones lay here and there, along with a thousand petaled lotuses. Other charming flowers of a dark blue hue grew in stalks made of Vaidurya gems. Yes, but Bhima's mind was stolen by their beauty. Iškia lotas šitie stiebai iš Vaidurjos. Durė tai yra tokia branga akmenė, kurie skleidžia be galo gražią šviesą įvairią spalvę. Iškia, jie augo ant tokių stiebelių. But the thousands of Yaksha and Rakshasa guards Kuvera had deployed to protect his lake saw Bhima arrive. They moved toward him and their leader shouted, "Who are you, O effulgent one? Why have you come here clad in deerskin yet bearing weapons?" "We are the Krodhavashas, guardians of this lake." Kshatrinė nešiodavo elnio odos, įsijuosi elnio odą, čia eidavo atsiskyrėliai. O atsiskyrėliai ginklų nešiodavo, dėl to jie klausia, kaip dabar čia tu ir ginklus nešio ir kaip išminčius brahmanas apsirengęs. "I am Bhima Sena, Pandu's son. I have come with my elder brother, Dharmaraja, to Badarikashma. There too is my dear wife Drupadi. The breeze brought to her an excellent Saugandhika lotus, and she asked me to bring her more. O night rangers, I had thus come here in order to satisfy that lady of faultless features, for her wish is always my order." The Rakshasa placed his spear on the ground and replied, "O foremost of man, this place is Kuvera's favorite playground. Humans may not sport here, nor may they take away the flowers and fruits. Only the celestials are permitted to use this lake. Others who try disregarding the Lord of Wealth certainly meet destruction. As you desire to take away the lotuses belonging to Kuvera without his permission, how can you say that you are Dharmaraja's brother? Don't perform an irreligious act. First ask Kuvera's permission, and then you may enter the lake." Jam Hanumanas perspėjo, kad reik būti nulankiam ir kontroliuoti savo aistras. Bhima didn't care for the warning. He had little regard for Rakshasas and was certainly not going to be told what to do by them. Completely forgetting Hanuman's admonishment, he placed his hand on his mace and boomed out, "O Rakshasas, I don't see the illustrious Kuvera here. And even if I did, I wouldn't pray for these flowers. It is not the duty of Kshatriyas to beg. In any event, this lake has sprung up on the mountain breast and belongs to everyone. Kuvera didn't make it, nor did he create the lotuses. Why then should I ask his permission?" Having said this, Bhima plunged into the lake and began to gather the lotuses. The Krodhavashas advanced, shouting at him to desist. Bhima ignored them. As far as he was concerned, the lotuses were the property of their creator God, not any lesser God. Iškia, Dievui priklauso, ne kažkokiam tai pusdėviukui. Bhima felt he had as much right to take them as did Kuvera. The Pandava knew that Draupadi would first offer them to the Lord before giving them to anyone else. Tarnyba darė. Seeing Bhima taking the flowers despite their warnings, the guards charged, "Seize him, cut him up, bind him." The Rakshasas entered the shallow waters and Bhima stood to receive them. Taking hold of his mace, inlaid with gold and resembling the mace Yamaraja carries, Bhima shouted back, "Stand and fight!" The guards surrounded Bhima. Bhima whirled his mace and met the advancing Rakshasas with blows. Heroic and courageous, Vayu's son was devoted to virtue and truth, and was thus incapable of being vanquished by an enemy through prowess. He killed the Krodhavashas by the hundreds, beginning with the foremost among them. Many of them fell into the water, their arms and legs broken. Bhima was a furious whirlwind now. The Rakshasas could hardly look at him as he fought. They began to flee in fear, taking to the skies. Seeing the guards retreating, Bhima lowered his mace and continued to gather lotuses. He drank the lake's clear water, which tasted like celestial nectar and which restored his energy and strength. As he picked the lotuses, he presented them mentally to Draupadi. The Krodhavashas ran back in terror to Kuvera and told him what had happened. The god only smiled and said, "Let Bhima take as many lotuses as he likes for Draupadi. I already knew he would be coming." Hearing their master's words, the guards returned to the lake and saw Bhima sporting alone in its waters with a number of lotuses lying near him on the bank. They watched him in silence, keeping a safe distance. Nu va, kaip bebūtų, Kuvera leido, bet po to vis tiek tenais bus problemų. Vis tiek šie žaidimai toliau vyks ir galim tik suprast, koks ten buvo Bimos kūnas, kad kai jis įkaudavosi, jau beveik neįmanoma buvo matyti jo judesių, jis kaip vėjas sukdavosi. Ir galima tik įsivaizduoti, ką reiškia lotusai, tūkstant lapiai lotusai. Tai labai sunku suvokti, kas tai yra tūkstant lapiai lotusai. Tai be abejo, tai buvo jau rojus regionas. Ir man klausimas vis išlieka, kaip Bhima galėjo su savo kūnu ten patekti, koks pas jį buvo kūnas. Reikės man tai išsiaiškinti. Paklausti baktų, kurie geriau nusimano šastrose. Bet vat, čia yra skirtumas tarp žemės, mūsų gėlių ir medžių, ir pačios žemės akmenų ir ten. Ten akmenys inkrustuoti brangakmeniais. Ten tu brangakmenių yra kiek tu nori, bent jau kaip čia rašo. Ir pas mus nuvyktų žemiečiai viską grobti pradėtų. Susipyktų ten, kerštautų, įtako zonom dalintusi ir taip toliau, taip toliau. Tai dėl to nieks ten neleidžia. Bet kaip Bhima galėjo dėl savo dorybės patekti ten, jis galėjo ten patekti. Ir faktiškai, jeigu mes pasiekėm Satva Guna, mes galim matyti rojaus regionus, augmeniją, gyvūniją, gyventojus, ką jie veikia, ką jie daro. Šimat Bhagatam Krišna Udavoje aiškina, kad satvagūnui atsiranda tokia mistinė savybė, kaip matyti pusdevius žaidžiančius su savo antrom pusėm dangiškose sodose. Na, tai matyti reiškia ir pačius sodus galima matyti, yra tos ežerus, lotosos, augmenyje, gyvūnėje, visa kita. Dėl to, jeigu mes kartuosime dėmį mantrą, mes pradėsime matyti truputėlį vis daugiau ir daugiau šitos dalykus. Tai atsiranda natūraliai, kaip vaikui augant, užauga plaukai ant galvos, atsiranda gebėjimas vaikščioti, valgyti, tuštintis savarankiškai ir geriau, užauga raumenis, išsivysto organai, jis gali daugiau pakelti, daugiau kvėpti, daugiau iškvėpti, greičiau nubėgti, aukščiau pašokti per čia, vystantis atvagūnai atsiranda šitie natūraliai sugebėjimai. Tai Hare Krishna.